the highlight of God's creation. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created the world not by evolution, but by His powerful Word. And after God made the world with the land, the water, the sky, God then equipped the world with beauty, with animals, with plants, all kinds of plants, beautiful plants, fruitful plants. Then God made the pinnacle of His creation. Then God made man. See, when the world was properly equipped with all the things that were necessary, then and only then did God make man. That's what we'll hear about today. The pinnacle of creation, and in second, the purpose of creation. And our goals are that you will understand your place and your purpose in creation, and then you would be moved to fulfill it because you have been restored to right relationship with God and enabled by the Lord Jesus Christ. First, let's talk then about the pinnacle of creation. The Bible says God formed man after everything was prepared, showing that man was the pinnacle of His creation. God did not make man by the voice command, like when He said, "Let there be," and there was. Rather, God formed man with His own hands, forming him with clay and then breathing life into man. Far more personal than "let there be" and "there was." God even performed man's first reproduction by taking a rib from Adam's side and forming his wife Eve. Then God gave man a perfect soul, a soul free from corruption and with the inclination to do good. Man was not a robot, but he had the inclination to obey God. He was pure and perfect and had that desire. And think about that when we think of where we are today. And that's why it's very difficult to grasp this, right? Because when man works hard all day, he does everything right, and he finds out, well, he's made mistakes. He doesn't know how to do it. My mechanic has been working for a week on my car and can't figure out what's wrong with it, let alone how to fix it. It's difficult. A woman might intend to cook a very good meal and then she drops too much salt in the food or forgets it and it burns. A surgeon might make a mistake and cost someone his life or serious injury. But not with God. When He made man, He said man was very good. Man was perfect. And then even when we do make something, we always have to improve it. Remember what telephones used to be like? Always had to improve the telephone. The first cell phone, you had to hold it with two hands. That was not easy, was it? Or think of first computer. 1946. It weighed 27 tons. And now you complain if your laptop is 5 pounds. You say, that's way too heavy. 27 tons. The one they built in the 60s took over almost the entire floor of a high-rise building to get it to work. And look at them now, tiny little thing. You don't even need that. You have your phone, and most people do all kinds of things on their phone. You see how we have to improve? When God made man, He didn't have to improve. God never upgraded His product. Bill Gates has to improve, not God. And that's when He made man. And He said, yes, that's what I want. Then God gave man specific commands of how to live. So man knew what God expected him to do. In his heart, he knew what God expected him to do. That's why people are so lost. When you don't have the normal things of life, you don't have friends, if you live an isolated life out in the bush, away from anyone else, it's a lonely life. That's why we desire to have families, to be part of a family. That's why we desire to be married. It's not society that has put this upon us. It's we know this is the way we need to live. Man knew what God expected. And then God didn't stop there. He didn't say, let me make you perfect. Let me tell you what to do. God gave man bountiful promises if man remained faithful. And among those promises was that man would live forever if he obeyed and passed the test in the garden. Of course, Adam failed there, but he had the wonderful promises of God. And then more than that, God gave man a will and power. The will and the power to do God's will. Man did not have any inordinate passions. He loved to please God and he was inclined to please God. In short, the Bible describes it this way. God made man in his own image. Now this does not mean that Adam and Eve were little gods, then not should there not be there in the sermon notes. I changed the way I worded the sentence. Adam and Eve were not little gods, but it means they had characteristics of gods, the characteristics that God gave them, never to the same degree as God. So could God could love, so man could love. God was just, man was just. This perfect soul is what a scholar called the candle of God in man. Never bright enough, but it's part of that light of God. It was a glimpse of who God is. Man was made like a little, in a way, like the light of God in him. And then man wanted to stay close to God because he would reflect God's light in particular. And something we see that's interesting here, I mean, let's not pass it lightly, is that God is described as creating man three times. And we saw last week that the Spirit of God was involved in creation, the Son created, and the Father created. So it's not surprising. What we see there is the Trinity at work. Man was not a product of time and chance and matter, the Trinity of the atheist. And they always have to throw in a lot there, right? Millions and zillions of years and chance happening and randomness of things. That's their view of creation. The Bible says the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the water and the Lord Jesus calling things into existence. The Father involved in the work of creation also. And since man was the pinnacle of creation and described as very good, it is obvious that man has a closer relationship with God than the land and the animals. God made man perfectly pure and clean. God gave man specific commands. God gave man promises. God gave man gifts. And then God said, "This is your work." Now, before we get to the work or the purpose of creation, let's get three lessons. First of all, man didn't come from a bacteria that crept out of primordial slime, became ape-like, and then became a man, and then made an iPhone 14 or 87 or whatever number that is now. It didn't come by accident. There's a designer in play. And when you look at man, you see there is a designer in play. God made man as he is, or in fact, it's better to say God made man better than he is. Man is not evolving, man is devolving. Man has moved away from purity to lust. Man lost the ability to be as healthy and to live forever. It's the other way than what the evolutionists claim. And science will back that up any day. Even the way we look, our health concerns, they're all because of sin. It's not the way God made us. So know who you are. Your father, Adam, was perfectly made, but he deliberately ruined his perfection. But know and be thankful that God provided a way back. So love God more knowing who you were in Adam, knowing what you became, the wretchedness of your condition, but where you are today. Child of God, being restored. One more thing. There are only two genders, male and female. Wouldn't it be great if our prime minister and our judges and our social engineers knew this? There's only one kind of family, a man, a woman, having children. That's the way God intended. Everything that goes against that, and that's where you see the error of the evolutionists or the atheists. Anything away from what God has made has been bad for society. In societies where women were dominating, they fell apart. In society like we have now, where there's not male or female anymore, our society is fast falling apart. What is it that holds together? It's what God said. Not a product of evolution, of randomly this is what's working. If you follow the evolutionary thought, we would be in chaos. And we are moving that way. Because evolution has influenced us and is destroying us. You know, they've shown that even children, where there's a couple that is fighting with each other, they're still better for children than to be in a single parent home. It's very difficult to raise children by yourself. Because that's the way God intended, that you have that mother and father. Difficulty that comes when we change what God says. But let's come to the purpose of creation. We see the pinnacle of creation. Man, made by God, blessed by God, equipped by God. Close relationship with God. We remember Jesus would come down in the evening of the day and have conversations with Adam, which is really worship, what we're doing now. So what was God's goal in creation? Everything was made for the glory of God. This means the primary purpose of man is to glorify God. Let's look at our notes now. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Together. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Together. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So the first way man is to glorify God is to have fellowship with him. Animals, because they were not made in the image of God, had no ability to have true fellowship with God. The Lord Jesus only came down and met with Adam and Eve after they were made. He didn't show up and talk to the animals. Yes, it's true. God provides for animals. The psalmist talks about that. But he never has private times with them. And you know, even when that fellowship with man was lost, because of God's love for the gold of his creation, the pinnacle of his creation, he sent his son to die for the pinnacle of his creation so fellowship with him could be restored. So that fellowship, number one. Second, the second way man is to glorify God is to have dominion over the world through good rule and godly children. God made that clear in our text. Adam was to have and to teach his children, teach them about the covenant of works that God established with him. Remember, there was no need for grace then because nobody had sinned. God made that clear to him. Have and teach children. Second, Adam had to take care of the world, which was reflected in the rulership of the one in whose image Adam was made. He had to rule the fish and the trees, the sky and the rivers. Animals weren't equals. Third, Adam had to enjoy the benefits of the world as he ruled it. God expected him to enjoy what he had made. Because the more you enjoy what God's made, the more you will praise God. And that was part of what God expected him to do. And all three of these things, Adam had to, all three of these things brought glory to God that God gave to Adam. The command has never changed. What did God tell him to enjoy? He had to enjoy the food that God made. He says, all of these trees I've given to you for food. He had to enjoy his wife, intimacy. That was part of what God blessed him with. He had to enjoy the Sabbath. 6 days he would work, and then the one day he would stop and enjoy the Sabbath and rest on it. And look at what Jesus said when he was going back into heaven. When he worked to restore man to the relationship he had with God, and that fellowship was restored. He said in Matthew 28, 18 and 19 together, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" The same thing is seen in Ezekiel 36, 11 together. "I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in former times, and do better for you than at your beginnings. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." The concept here is that man is called to go and continue what God had given to him, the command at creation, which is to multiply, fill the earth, and have dominion. Remember, I said one of the purposes of Adam was to teach his children about the covenant of works. Now the function that each one has is to teach about the covenant of grace, how man can be restored to God and then begin to obey God again. God absolutely provided man as well with everything he needed so man could do the work and glorify God. That was one of the wonderful things that we recognize here in our Heavenly Father. What can we learn from this? First of all, worship, the worship of God in church and in home is for your instruction. God wants you to learn, but the primary goal is for you to know how to glorify God. Worshiping God is not an end in itself. Reading the scriptures to your children is not an end in itself. The purpose is to glorify God. That's why man was made. That's why the Apostle Paul says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things." That's why he said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whatever you do, it is for the glory of God." That's why Adam was made. You see how this changes how we look at ourselves? We live in a society that say, you must come first. You must love yourself. That philosophy is not based on the Word of God. That's secular society. That's atheistic society that says it's about you. God says it's about me. I made you first and foremost for my glory. I love you. But even my love that I've shown to you ultimately must work for my glory. What a difference in the way the world sees life. Second, those who confess their sins to animals or ask forgiveness before they kill an animal and eat them, they don't understand the Bible. And they end up worshiping the creatures rather than the Creator. You know, many people do this. They ask forgiveness of the animal before they eat them. You don't have to. Enjoy what God has given to us. Don't ask forgiveness of something that can't forgive sins. They don't even need forgiveness themselves, because there's no heaven or hell for animals. Third, the call to have dominion over the earth does not mean man might become or may become a tyrant over creation or refuse to care for it. This does not mean that you will senselessly kill animals for fun. Sometimes people do that. There's this killing of the baby seals and the whacking of them and killing them. And people do that for fun. And I always wonder, what fun is there in doing that? The clubbing of the seals. People pay big money to go there to do so. When you cut down trees, and it's a good thing to cut down old trees, plant new ones, take care of the earth. That's what God expects. Don't pump poisons into the river or into the air. Take horribly smoky cars off the roads. Don't overfarm the land. Give it time to rest. See, man has been given this call to care for the earth, not worship it, like some of the environmentalists do, but take care of it. Use it, enjoy it, responsibly for the dominion strategy, but don't worship it. And if you don't take care of the earth, you rob yourself of its goods and you rob God of his glory. There are some places where you see legitimately where people just overfarm or they burn everything down and then the water washes away the dirt and the land is ruined. That's not responsible. But neither is it where people are saying, I saw someone saying recently that breathing was racist and breathing was bad for the environment. That's you breathing. And these are supposedly intelligent people with PhDs that say you are destroying the environment when you breathe. That's idolatry. And those people will go to hell for teaching such abominable things. We are here for a purpose. You were made in the image of God. Number four. Put effort into having and raising godly children. Put effort into having and raising godly children. They will bring glory to God. That's part of your command. That's what God has called you to do. Many have selfishly refused to have children because they want to invest time in themselves. It's about me. I heard that now Canada is down to the average family 1.3 children. They don't even reproduce themselves. And you need something like 2.4 just to break even. And we don't. Some just want to spend their time traveling. If I get children, I'll be tied down. I want to be able to travel. Or some, even worse, would say, I don't want to damage my body. Look at what children can do to a woman's body. I don't want to mess with that. Now, there are times when people are prevented by providence, when there are no good men to marry, or by reason of sickness or some sort, they don't get married or they don't have children. And there's legitimate reasons for that. But they can still put the effort into helping others. Other people's children, supporting of a mother or a father, you can do that as well. Having and raising godly children is the most potent way to build up the kingdom of God. 5. This command to have children is given in the context of the family, one man and one woman. God's goals have not changed. God's goals can never change. Homosexuality is anti-God's glory. It's rebellion against God's order. It's a rejection of the glory of God. And you hear in our society, all love is love. What a load of nonsense that is. You never hear people say, after all, you go in the toilet, there's water. But you don't say all water is water, do you? Some water is good, some water is not good. Some sexuality is good, some are not. We have to be able to be strong enough to call those people out. 6. A man is complete when he has a wife. This is the norm. This is strong motivation to love your wives and to teach your sons to love their wives. This is strong motivation for young women to get godly men with whom you will have godly children and raise them in the fear of the Lord for the glory of God. You see, men are weak without a woman, without having a wife. You're not the product of evolution. There's that desire to be married, to have a family, a true Christian. Because you know this is what will please God. Even people who are not Christians, they realize the benefit of having that family in society. If you were a believer in evolution, then you should say, forget it. Why would you want to tie yourself down? Marriage will make no sense. And you probably shouldn't do it if that's the way you think. Because if it's all about survival of the fittest, it's all about your pleasure and profit rather than the glory of God, why tie yourself down? But there's something in us, even the damaged or the destroyed image of God in man, you still think that's a good thing to do. And Christians even more. And people who don't do this, who decide to live wild lives when they're older, they regret it too. Because they know they've missed the blessing and the duty that God called them to do. 7, because man lost that ability to accomplish the goals set out by God, man needed to be restored. He needed to be brought back to his original place so he can fulfill that goal. And this is where the sermon all comes together. All of the scriptures about Christ. You can talk about your duties, but if you don't say, how are you able to fulfill those duties, you're lost. And here, the Bible talks about how God restored us. The restoration of man's ability to fulfill God's goals in creation is done by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in the place of sinners. Finally, let's read Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Let's begin. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You notice the language the Apostle Paul used here? This is the language of creation. He's saying you've been restored. You've been restored in Jesus Christ. You see, so God now works to give you the promises, to do the work, to create you or recreate you in Jesus. And then He gave you the gifts. He gave you the Word, the sacraments. He gave you the church. He gave you family and friends who will be able to challenge you to take on that task of multiplying, filling the earth, having dominion over the world for Jesus Christ. Let's conclude. Man was the pinnacle of God's creation. Created in the image of God and given a wife to help him and to have children with her. Adam had no diabetes, no depression, no cancer. He had the power over all the animals. If he said to the cobra, come or go, it obeyed. More, Adam had the inclination to do what was good. That good work was to have dominion over the earth for the glory of God. So, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what are the takeaways from this? 2 things. First, even though man sinned and lost the ability to fulfill the creation mandate, and even though his family became corrupted, God restored that ability by recreating him in Jesus Christ. 2, this means then you must start to have dominion over the world by evangelizing and discipling the world for Jesus Christ. You see, bringing man under dominion is not by the power of the sword, as other religions teach, but by the power of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what we must proclaim. And how do you do this? Start by having children and raising those children for the glory of Christ. Let them be salt in a tasteless world. Finally, if you're not under the dominion of Christ, surrender. Give up. If you willingly submit and accept Christ's sacrifice as yours and plead that to God, you will be brought into the kingdom and given rich blessings. If you don't, you'll be crushed with a royal crushing. And sent to hell. I pray you'll make the right choice. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us a reminder of how man was created in the perfect image of God, with all the blessings he need, with clear direction of what you expect him to do, to marry, to have children, to raise them in the fear of the Lord. We recognize to you, Lord, that man sinned and fell. But you, on your gracious way, restored man back to yourself in Jesus Christ. You recreated him. You renewed that image of God in man. Now you want us to live for you. And what wonderful gifts, what wonderful ways in which you strengthen us, even today as we eat of the Lord's Supper, that we will be strengthened knowing how we have been restored. And we will indeed go out to have dominion over the world as you called us to do in Matthew 28. Hear us then, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.